Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Now Spinning. Today we have a very special episode in store for you, but first off, let's go around the room and introduce ourselves.
Hello, I'm Tyler.
Hi, I'm Anna Sophia.
And I'm Simon Medina. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, welcome, everybody. Today we're going to be doing another classic favorite of ours, which is a Desert Island disc episode. But today we have someone new with us today, Anna Sophia. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. I know you've been on here before.
Yeah, I said that we should do a Desert Island thing with you, and luckily we were able to do it kind of quick. Yeah.
And here we are.
So if I jump right in,
sure.
I'm a big fan of Alex Warren. If you know the song Ordinary, you might have heard of him before. He blew up really recently, but I've been listening to him since before. So his album, You'll Be All Right, Kid, definitely off the second half of his album. You Can't Stop This, Getaway Car, Bloodline, First Time on Earth, like all of those are such good vibes. And it shows very much how much like upbeat and better like his life got. Because if you don't know, Alex Warren had a rough childhood and lost both of his parents. So he wrote about his pain and a lot of stuff that he dealt with during that, and then during trying to get married after that. And then he talked about, in the other half of his album, he talked about his life now, which is like amazing. And he's like doing a whole bunch of things. He's on tour right now, I believe. But I like, what would be my favorite? I guess Getaway Car, You Can't Stop This would be one of my favorites, because they're just really upbeat and really like you can actually like move to those. And I like Bloodline a lot too. I like all of them, but it's hard to narrow down favorites, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah. That's most albums.
That's fair. Yeah. So this is like you said, it's like a half the album is songs about his past. Half of them are about like where he is now. Then.
Yeah. So like
that's
he,
interesting.
He first disc is like all of the stuff that he had to deal with growing up, kinda, and then like some songs incorporating with his wife. About like how she helped him with that.
That's
and then
nice.
Yeah. And he talked about like he had to live in his car and stuff and all this other not so good things. And then he's like talking about like, oh, this is who I am now. This is like I'm getting away from all this bad stuff that happened and I'm living my life better. At least that's how I interpreted it.
That's cool. So I guess my other question is like what makes it a Desert Island album? Like what do you consider a Desert Island album?
Okay, so it would have to be one that like I wouldn't get sick of,
right?
And it would also be like help me get through trying to get off the island, I guess.
Right, fair enough.
So I would definitely say at least the second half of his album, like Getaway Car, You Can't Stop This, The Outside, those would be definitely great ones to help me get motivated to get off the island.
That's very good.
I like that interpretation.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that before. You know, that's a really interesting way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess my interpretation of the island is something completely different. Like the last time I did Wiley's, it was more so like an up northy. I think it was autumn, so it was like up northy, kind of like Mackinac meets like Clare, Michigan, Farwell area like that, and I was listing off albums and stuff that I'd listened to up there and up north at the cottage and stuff like that. But, you know, times are kind of similar, and I do kind of agree that, you know, it's got to be an album you can't really get sick of, and the album that I'd kind of consider to be is more of a more praise from me now that I've listened to it fully multiple times, too many times, but that's okay, is American Fool by John Mellencamp. It's the album that's got Hurt So Good and Jack and Diane on it from 1982. It's like the lyrics are kind of, they make sense, but they kind of don't. Like he didn't, like you can kind of tell that he's still kind of trying to find his voice, like songwriting. Like they're great songs. Like Hand to Hold On To is great. American Fool is like really good. But, you know, it's not on the same level in songwriting terms as like Scarecrow or something like that, which is like, you know, well, most people know Scarecrow. It's an album for the farmers and all that stuff. And
but get into that.
Yeah, it's if you want to get into John Mellencamp, you just need to listen to four albums: American Fool, Scarecrow, and Lonesome Jubilee. Like, I've got those four, and I don't think I need any more John Mellencamp. I'm going to go see him in July.
Oh, wow.
His Dancing Words tour, which is, I assume, is where he performs all of his hits. And I'm so excited for that. As you could tell, my voice, I am like beaming eye to eye or ear to ear. Smiling ear to ear.
Tiny little smile.
Yeah. But there's, except for maybe China Girl is kind of like iffy for me.
Not the David Bowie song. That's a completely separate thing.
I didn't even know he did a song called China Girl.
Yeah.
Close Enough is great. American Fool is great. Thundering Hearts is spectacular. Well, I think Jack and Diane and Hurt So Good are like top tier, you know, because, I mean, everybody knows them. I mean, Hurt So Good was like an anthem for the Indiana football team when they won the national championship and stuff like that, which I find, you know, a little bit funny and stuff.
So is he from Indiana?
Yeah, he's from Seymour, Indiana.
It's really heartland then. That's the...
Yeah, on kind of southern Indiana and stuff like that.
Ooh.
I haven't been there.
I don't think you'd want to go there.
I don't know.
It's okay.
I mean, if I'd go to White County. Shout out my ancestors, Isaac White and or Vincennes, where my grandma's family was from. Stuff like that, but... It's always good to have some heartland rock. You know, it's central up north, kind of islandy sort of songs and music, stuff like that. If you want to check out American Fool, I suggest checking it out on Spotify or Apple Music or YouTube, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, that's I do like that heartland rock stuff. A lot of people say it's like cheesy, corny stuff, but I feel like a lot of people, they only take it at face value. They see these songs that are like rah 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 patriotism, but like you look underneath that and it's like, you know, there's a lot of struggle in it. I think that's what makes the music good. It's like these people lived a life, you know. I don't know about John Mellencamp. I know
that's you're describing Scarecrow, definitely. Yeah. That's like, because it's like, you know, like that whole thing is like, oh, America's cool, but like America is, I'm not saying this, I love my country, but you know, in the Scarecrow, he's just kind of saying that America is kind of like sucky towards farmers and stuff like that.
It wasn't, yeah, definitely in the 80s, but yeah. No, I think that's what I like about it, is that like it's optimistic music, but it's like about very like not dark things, but it's always about like it can get better, it's gonna get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that Jack and Diane song, that's about like, you know, like literally that's just the whole song.
Yeah,
just,
and that one super weird lyric that we won't talk about,
something about a chili
certain
dog.
Food item, yes.
I'm not going to debate what John Cougar Mellencamp was intending when he wrote that song, but American Fool, I'd have to check that out. I haven't listened to it in full before. Obviously, I've heard those two songs a billion times by virtue of also going up north sometimes and listening to the radio, but
yeah,
good songs. I can't say anything mean about them.
Next up, the host himself. What's your Desert Island album, Simon?
Yeah. Okay, so I've got one. If I had to describe like what I consider a Desert Island album, it's obviously I think you two kind of covered it in general. Like you don't want to get tired of it. It's something that you know, it's very, hits you very deeply. You know, you have a stark connection to it. This one is kind of a recent album I listened to, not like recently released, but an album I only listened to recently. And it is Radio City by the band Big Star. They're a very influential power pop rock band from the early 70s. They didn't get the, you know, recognition that they deserved at the time. I think they're like one of those bands that like was kind of lost to time but rediscovered by people later on. And definitely this album, though, you know me, I like songs that sound like they're way ahead of time, or songs that are made today that sound like they were made in like the 60s or 70s. I think that's kind of my music taste, is like it's either one of those, and this is definitely in the made in the 70s, kind of sounds modern camp. Not, I don't know about quite modern, but it was very influential for like the whole generation of like hard rock and power pop that came after. And this was 1974. So this one, I guess the main reason I like it is the first thing is it's exactly 35 minutes long. I'm kind of about album lengths. I think that's about as perfect as you can get it. It doesn't go too long, but still says everything it needs to say. And then every song is basically just perfectly crafted pop music, rock music. There's nothing I could say about any of these songs. I'd be like, well, I change this, I take that out. It's just 100% perfectly made. Lots of hooks, very catchy. When I listened to it the first time, I added the entire thing to my playlist. I didn't skip a single song.
That's for listening for the first time. Is it like, I know with some things, like you can be like suffer from recency bias and stuff like that. But you know, some things you just listen to for the first time and then they just like stick with you.
Yeah, this one's definitely that. And I say also another thing about the Desert Island thing, you got to have an album that you like every song on it. There's not just any one that you hate.
I agree with that. I mean, even some, like as I said with American Fool and stuff, some can be kind of iffy. But if you're like, aren't like, oh, skip, you know, like, as long as you still enjoy it, it might not be your favorite, but so long as you can still kind of flow with the whole thing, I think that kind of encompasses Desert Island albums and stuff like that.
Right. But yeah, this one, I got way more into this band after I heard it. I've heard their first album before it, which is called Number One Record. Their third album is called Third. I never realized that their first album is called Number One Record and their third album is called Third, but this one is just called Radio City. They didn't want to call it Second. I don't know if they planned that out ahead of time. I guess not. But this band in general and the people in it, the two primary songwriters, Alex Chilton, Chris Bell, they're both
I know that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the Box Tops.
Yeah, the Box Tops, yeah.
And he went on to join this band. He's very, very influential in just like alternative music in general. After this band broke up, he went on to make a lot of very strange like garage punk music, which it's definitely not. If you like this album, you probably won't like that. But if you're a fan of that kind of thing, definitely go check it out. The big song of this album, if I had to recommend one song, though, September Girls, that's the best song in the album. Perfect, perfect pop song. Zero notes. Go listen to that one if you're going to listen to anything off this album. That's about all I have to say about this one, though. Great album. Perfect album. I guess that's a problem with it. I don't have a lot to say about it. It says everything it needs to say pretty concisely, and I don't know if I have too much to say about it.
It's always
good. But it's perfect. Perfect album, in my opinion.
Okay, so second album, I guess.
Sure.
So mine would for sure be, my second one would for sure be Stick Season by Noah Kahan, that album, because even though I don't know all the songs on it, like, by heart, I know most of them, but I don't know all of them, I would definitely, like, if you know it, it's, like, in the sticks, it's, like, very rugged and, like, hard time in his life, but it's also, like, coming back to that hard time and like dealing with it. So I think the actual song Stick Season might be good. The View Between Villages extended version for sure. And then Orange Juice, maybe All My Love. I mean, a lot of these songs I like. And then he did Northern Attitude, but on the original album, it's just him. But when he does it with Hoser, if you know who Hoser is,
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, both their vocals mix well, and like the pain in both their voices is just very like projected, and it's very well done. And I have no critiques, and I'm getting into his new album. So
very
that's
interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot about him. I mean, I think there's like a theme there between like both ears. Like, it's the living in the rural part of the country. A lot of growing up tough, still dealing with all that stuff. But, you know, moving past it, that's like a theme here I'm noticing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for sure, because, I mean, life sucks sometimes. But if you can get through it in a good way, then, yeah.
And then you channel it into the music, you know, and I think that's the interesting part about it.
Yeah.
You know, turn something bad into something good like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of turning things around, my next album would be Feeling Groovy by Harper's Bazaar. I think I mentioned this in a previous episode, I believe, but I recently got this album. I bought it, and I've been looking for it for a while. And like the album cover, if you like look at it on Google or something like that, it's like all four guys underneath this like street light, and it just, it reminds me of being back up north working on Mackinac Island and stuff, because I had listened to a few of the songs, like 59th Street Bridge song, Feeling Groovy. I'd listened to that a lot up there, I Can Hear the Darkness, stuff like that, you know. It's great. It's got Come to the Sunshine on it. which is like really good. It's a song that Van Dyke Parks made that, you know, he left Smile, the whole Smile thing, and for working with Harper's Bazaar or something like that, or making his own album, I think. You know, Happy Talk. It's like a old Rodgers and Hammerstein. I wish Andy was here. He'd know what I mean. But mm-hmm. Rodgers and Hammerstein's song. Come Love's really good. I like Raspberry Rug. It's like, with Raspberry Rug, it's like vivid in the sights. Like, faces on the wall. They always, they never fool me because they talk amongst themselves and never to me. Like, I'd say that's kind of like vivid. Like, you picture it in your mind and stuff like that. It's also got some songs written by a guy. I don't know if you've heard of him, but a guy named Randy Newman.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. They're kind of like, huh? But they aren't, like, weird like you'd think a Randy Newman song is. It's not like Left Foot, Right Foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like Short People, but it's oddly three he did. The Debutante's Ball is, like, probably the best Randy Newman song on here because it doesn't sound like Randy Newman. Happy Land's pretty good. I mean, the imagery is there too. Randy Newman's good at creating imagery and stuff. And Simon Smith and the Amazing Dancing Bear, I'll have to play that at a meeting sometime. Yeah, that's a
Randy Newman song right there.
Yeah, that's very much Randy Newman. All around with the Desert Island, all this stuff. I've listened to it on an island a lot.
Well, there you go.
So I think that ticks a box, but I recommend it a lot. Also on, I guess, little tag to add on streaming and stuff, they include two songs, Bye 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 and Lost My Love Today, which are by the Tikis, which was what Harper's Bazaar was called before they were Harper's Bazaar, which I, you know, it's pretty cool. But not to be confused with Bye 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 by Michael Nesmith and the First National Band, or Bye 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 by NSYNC. Yeah.
We love the 60s pipe psych pop stuff.
I'll bring it in. Oh, it's not really psych pop. It's more sunshine pop. I'd say this and Spanky and Our Gang, their first album, they're like the two pinnacles of sunshine pop albums, I'd think.
That's good for a desert island, I suppose.
Yeah. A sunny desert island surrounded by a lake with that has banned cars since 1898 and stuff like that.
I don't know if I'd call Mackinac Island the desert, but that's...
Not really. I mean, it's...
There's some stuff going on there. There's people.
Yeah, if you're up in the middle where I was living, it's kind of is, because I would go out into the woods and just hammock, or you go out onto the shoreline, onto the cliffs and hammock and stuff like that. Party at night, work, you know, sleep, party more. It's fun. If you ever get a chance to, I recommend it. Anyway, continuing on the Desert Island theme, what's your second album, Simon?
All right, I promised I wasn't going to talk about this band, but I have to talk about it because I have stuff to say about this album. This is my next pick. I choose this one because, again, I have a sentimental connection to it. I listen to it a ton. It is the album Holland by the Beach Boys. We're not going to talk about outtakes today. We're just going to talk about the songs on the album.
Or anything else.
Yep.
Like with it, this album, at least the later Beach Boys stuff could be a podcast episodes all on their own.
Yeah.
I mean, we did one for Sunflower, you know.
We might come back sometime. But I
mean, we should come back sometime.
But this album.
It's great.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic record. I picked it out of all the Beach Boys albums because I think... A couple of the songs are very motivational. I think, like, I listen to it all the time. I think this might be my second or third most listened album by then, besides, like, obviously, like, Pet Sounds.
Yeah, Pet Sounds. I mean, Pet Sounds, it's more so you got to ask, what's your second most listened to or second favorite Beach Boys album? Because you can't really count Pet Sounds.
Yeah, that's just the best album.
It's like, yeah.
All time, but anyway.
Yeah.
Differing opinions today. But I picked this one because... As I said, very motivational for me anyway. I think that it's probably, since a lot of people have been revisiting their other 70s albums, I think this is probably like the last real like hidden gem in their whole catalog.
Yeah.
That's like under-mentioned, under-discussed. It's not what you'd expect out of like the Beach Boys per se. Like it's very...
contemporary.
Contemporary, progressive. Not like fun in the sun, beach, that kind of stuff. They talk about... there's a lot of songs about like the way that Native Americans were like treated horribly.
Yeah, and beaks of eagles.
There's a whole, On the second side of the album, there's a whole, sorry, the first side of the album, there's a whole suite of three songs, progressive rock suite on a Beach Boys album. I mean, I don't know how you get away with that. There's like a spoken word section. It's like very, it just doesn't sound like the Beach Boys at all. And I think that's really what I enjoy about it. It's like a band, that's a band I talk about all the time. And then, of course, like the album I listen to the most, it has a lot of the stuff that makes them, you know, it doesn't have a lot of the traditional, like stereotypical Beach Boys stuff, but it still has what makes them great. It's just the voices coming together into the harmony for that. It's just something, like I said, very unique in their whole catalog. Very special to me since this is something, again, this is an album that I've had for a long time. I had to track this one down on Discogs because I don't know how, but I couldn't ever find it in person. Which I've been finding it all the time now, which...
Yeah, that happens. Like, I spent, you know, you spend years and stuff trying to find one album, and then you find it, and it just pops out at you.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you start seeing it everywhere right after you buy it the first time.
Yes,
but yeah,
very much so.
And sometimes it's cheaper, and you feel a little stupid, but okay.
Yeah. I like Holland. Holland's great. If it weren't for George Lucas and American Graffiti and having All Summer Long be at the end of it, the Beach Boys probably would have went like more contemporary past.
They would have
like
made
the
more,
bicentennial of 1976 and stuff like that.
They would have made more weird progressive music, and I would have liked to hear it, but sometimes that's not what happens. They still made some good stuff after that, but
yeah.
This was like the end of their like consistent, really good period for me anyway, but
yeah.
I digress. I just adore this album. I could listen to it nonstop. I've listened to it a million times, could hear it a million times more. Again, like you said, that's pretty much the big thing you want for a Desert Island album is just something that you can't get tired of, and I'm still not tired of this thing.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, anyway, I think that does about wrap us up for today, unless anybody had any other like rapid-fire albums they like a lot they just want to shout out.
I've been getting into Don Quixote by Gordon Lightfoot. All the tracks are like really good. I like Second Cup of Coffee's good, Ode to Big Blue. If we have an animal theme meeting for Record Club, I'm definitely playing that because it's about a whale, you know.
A whale.
Yeah. I recommend Gordon Lightfoot.
Shout out to Gordon Lightfoot, friend of the show. Great songwriter. One of my favorites. Rapid fire. I've been listening to a lot of Brazilian music lately. The big one I'd pick, though, is Clube da Esquina. That's basically the greatest album pretty much everybody agrees is, at least here in America, it's probably the most famous album from Brazil. Most well-known. Great. Just great stuff. Fantastic psychedelic pop. Can't get tired of it.
Psychedelic pop from Brazil.
Oh, there's a ton of it. Dude, it's a rabbit hole that you gotta dive into. It's very, very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. And Sophia, do you have any rapid fire things?
I really like Inside by Boba Burnham. That
fun stuff. But I think, yeah, that's all it wraps it up today. If you want to hear any of these albums we talked about, you'll definitely will hear a couple of them in the future. And anything else, wonderful stuff we might bring into this club, you can check out how to join us on our website. It'll have our meeting schedule, anything else you need to know about the club, plus playlists, all that fun stuff. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.